Hi everyone, I'm Liam, and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until I've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, a centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. Introductions out of the way, let's get started. This week, it's element 1.1.3, Program Learning Opportunities. It's part of Quality Area 1, Educational Program and Practice, and it's the third and final element of Standard 1.1 Program. The description for this element is, all aspects of the program, including routines, are organised in ways that maximise opportunities for each child's learning. So, what's this element all about? This is about kind of everything. This is a big element. This is about what we're doing every day, planned, unplanned, intentional, spontaneous. And it's about making sure that that's used to support and extend children's learning. This is really a really critical element of the National Quality Standard, because this is really about saying what we're planning and what we're doing is actually furthering children's learning and development, really helping them move towards the learning outcome. So when you know assessors and raters are coming in, that's what they're really looking for element 1.1.3. All right, let's talk about in practice. You know, we can start pretty basically with this one. So the name of this element is Program Learning Opportunities. So really what we're saying is, what are children learning from your program? It's kind of as simple and as complex as that. What are children learning from your program? Quite simple. In practice, in action, you know, that's quite complex. Everyone has a different context, a different service, or working in a different community. How the children you're working with are learning from your program is incredibly complex, but we can really break it down to that one sentence. The first thing I would be thinking about is, this is really beyond, you know, what I call the words on the wall. This might be, and we sort of talked about this in our other previous elements from this standard, is, you know, you might have your wall program, it might be weekly, it might be fortnightly, it might be monthly, you know, it might be even more than that. It might look incredibly different. But, you know, for me, they're the words on the wall. They're great and we can do some really interesting things with them, but they're really only there to point people in the direction of practice. What are people doing with children? What are the educators in your team? What are you doing as an educator or as a leader to actually support children's learning? So, particularly in Quality Area, and we haven't talked too much about this, and I think, you know, we've got six more elements of Quality Area 1 to come up to continue talking about this. This can be one of the most stressful quality areas for educators. This is where we particularly think about documentation and about reflection, those kind of things, but particularly documentation is a real trigger point for the sector. We can get really stressed by it. So, you know, one of my first bits of advice is trying to downplay that a bit. Think beyond the words on the wall. They're just, reflecting the work that's happening, but the work that's happening is the most important. But let's go back to thinking about that idea of that all aspects of the program are organised in ways that maximise opportunities for each child's learning. The next big thing I've been thinking about is, you know, thinking beyond, so beyond the words on the wall, and then thinking beyond this activity at this time. I think we've gotten a lot better at that in the sector over the last little while, but I can remember when I was a team leader, you know, my weekly program was kind of, we're going to be doing this activity at this time and it will have this or these resources. Now that still can be relevant for particular planned experiences, you may want to do that, but that was kind of what all my program was. This program is really encouraging us to take a step back and think beyond that, to think about the bigger picture of the day. One of the key phrases there is in the description for the element is organized in ways that maximize opportunities. So we're really, you know, thinking about the organization of the environment, our staffing, the resources that are available. But particularly for me, another thing to think about is thinking about how our days are structured in the particular classroom we're in. You know, whether it's for infants, whether it's for toddlers or preschool or children attending school. what is the flow of the day? That's another phrase I like to think about a lot. We want to be moving beyond that idea of having, you know, at 9 o'clock it's mat time, at 9:30 it's outdoor play, having these really kind of strict times for things. But it doesn't mean, you know, for me, that we chuck all that out, that we just have, you know, complete free rein during the whole day and we, you know, quote unquote, let children decide what to do. That is really important, and that'll be part of the national quality, one of the elements we'll be looking at later on as well. But for me, it's about having an understanding of and the ability to guide and shape the flow of the day. And that's an important phrase for me because that makes me think of, you know, kind of like a river. You know, the river will kind of goes in the same general direction, but, you know, depending on the weather and depending whether it's been raining, depending on how cold or warm it is, it'll go at different speeds and it might meander in different directions and it might flow in slightly different ways. But we kind of know we're all heading in the same direction. And you'll know that for your classroom. Your classroom will have a flow where you do different things. Now, it might be that it's really important for you that you have a time with groups of children at the start of the day. But, you know, if you're focusing on the flow, it doesn't matter whether that happens at 8:45 or 9 o'clock or 9:30 or 10 o'clock. You just know that's an important part of the day and it'll happen when it's most appropriate for it to happen. And that's some, you know, that's a great example of thinking about the learning behind something, that it's about, it's, we're putting children at the centre. If we think back to 1.1.2, child-centred, that's putting children at the heart of the program because, you know, if we had, you know, 8:45, this has to happen, that's a very adult-focused approach to the day. But looking at the flow of the day, you know, for me, is kind of working towards putting children at the centre of it. But this element's asking us to think about, you know, not so much just when things are happening, but what's happening at those times. You know, and what are the opportunities for learning in those things? So thinking about in practice, I'd be starting from there, taking a step back, not worrying about too much about the specifics, but thinking, what is the flow of the day? What happens every day in our service, in our program, that we really value, that we want to make sure continues, that are important parts of the day? And then it's about asking, what are the opportunities for learning? You know, another example for there might be, for a lot of services, particularly larger services these days, and we're seeing a lot more of those, is there may be things like family grouping in the morning, or where children from different classrooms will be in the same room for, you know, an hour, half an hour, hour and a half. We often think of that as just a routine time, but that's a huge opportunity for learning. That's children of different ages interacting and engaging with each other. It might be siblings that are at opposite ends of the centre for the rest of the day have an opportunity to come together. It's also an opportunity for families to come together with different groups of educators. So what are the opportunities for learning there? How can we have this instead of having, you know, oh, this is the time we need to do family grouping because we don't have staff and we need to wait until 9 o'clock before we can split up. That's the adult focus part of it. The learning opportunities in that are, well, how can we use this as an opportunity? How can we share knowledge between different children of different age groups? How can we engage families during that time? How can we, you know, think and talk and do learning about families in that context? There's a lot of opportunities there. Then I've been thinking about, so you're spending your time thinking about the big flow of the day, and then it's about what's happening during the day. And for me, this is about how our moments are used during the day. And we hear things like this all the time, intentional teaching or teachable moments during, you know, spontaneous activity. You know, we're kind of, I think, familiar with this concept that there are things that happen during the day with a child or with a small group of children where you have an opportunity to kind of make a contribution to the play or answer a question or encourage investigation of a question, which is extending or supporting learning. That's a big part of this element. So program learning opportunities is about having your overall approach and using moments within the day to extend and support learning. You know, there are endless examples of this, but, you know, one thing I challenge myself on, because I'm not a big outdoor nature person, is trying to, you know, during outdoor play, which my instinct is to not worry too much about that, and we know that outdoor and indoor play have just as much learning opportunities as each other, is thinking about how we can extend learning during physical play. You know, and this doesn't need to be complicated, it doesn't need to be, you know, winning awards for innovative practice. It might just be, you know, during physical activities, adding things like counting and number, you know, let's jump this many times, or let's only step on the round paving stones. These are great, you know, really back to basics learning opportunities that we can do for those kind of things. And then if we wanted to take it a bit deeper, we can be thinking about things like resilience and persistence. How can we encourage children to persist with tasks that can be quite challenging, which means we need to, as part of our program, the setting up opportunities that are challenging. And that might be things like climbing experiences. It might be things like, you know, learning to skip, all the, you know, all those things for older children, encouraging persistence, being with children to help them do it. You know, during outdoor activities, you know, there might be a higher risk of children, you know, bumping and falling into each other. That's when we can look at things like resilience. You know, there's a huge amount of opportunities to go, you know, this could be a moment we could let pass by, and we can just, you know, try and go, well, I'm on my break in 5 minutes, and we can let operational adult issues get in the way. Or we can look at opportunities to be engaging with children. That's and looking at extending and supporting learning. That's really what this element is asking for. People, we want to be able to see that educators are looking for learning opportunities in the shape of the day. The other big part of this element is around transitions and sort of routines and what some people call critical rituals, which means these are really important moments for children. And again, this is kind of about saying, you know, is the child at the centre of this? And then how are we using these moments to support learning? What are children learning during these moments? So the kind of things we're talking about might be toileting opportunities, nappies, meal times, sleep times. We talked about, you know, a bit about this last week, but we want to think about, you know, how can children make choices during these times? And for educators, how can we use these times to build relationships? How can we find out more about the child and build trust with the children, you know, and have children as active participants of these times? Because then these are huge opportunities to engage in learning opportunities with children when they trust us to undertake these important rituals and times with them. We can ask questions and we can investigate. And we can, you know, support children to really think about different ways of doing things. Transitions are important because, you know, particularly for young children, there's so much of them during the day. There's so much that children need to do. So if we again go back to taking that step back, we can worry about the individual details of particular transitions, or we can step back and go, well, these transitions are happening. How can we make sure there are learning opportunities embedded in them? You know, something as simple as, you know, we need to go and wash our hands and sit down and get our food. What are the learning opportunities there? What can children learn about hygiene and health during washing their hands, about saving water, about environmentalism, about the, you know, cultural importance of sharing a meal? There's so many things that can be pulled out of them if we're focused on pulling things out of them. If we're just focused on, you know, kind of trying to get through this routine so I can get the 50 million things that we've got to do done, then, you know, we may be missing those learning opportunities. So, you know, a lot of the In Practice guide really here is about, you know, taking a breath, stepping back and go, what can I pull out of this? How can I use this moment to, you know, raise some pre-literacy, raise some pre-numeracy, or talk about resilience and persistence and those kind of really important things, and relationship building between children and other children. That's, you know, hugely important. One other last thing I'll sort of leave here for In Practice is this is a great lens to apply to, you know, quote-unquote behavior management. If we're having issues with children engaging with each other, which are completely normal. Children are learning to engage and interact with their world in ways that are respectful and positive. If we have a focus on extending learning during these times, we're not trying to resolve a specific issue and work out who took the truck first or whose turn it was on the bike. We're using these as learning opportunities. How can we support children to understand another child's point of view or understand what's respectful and positive behavior or not? Approaching behavior through the lens of 1.1.3 program learning opportunities, I think, really makes us think differently about those times and sees them as opportunities, not problems we need to solve. So I finish this episode as I'll do every single episode, which is suggestions for nominated supervisors and leaders of teams, and then a couple of my suggestions for goals for your quality improvement plan. So for nominated supervisors, if you're leading a team in your program, you know, really look from the top to the bottom of the day in your service. What is the flow of the day in each room and then across the whole centre? When are children coming together? When are children, you know, going into different spaces? When are meal times? When are routine times? And then ask yourself, how and why are particular things there? Is there a reason we need to do it this way? And if there is, which there may very well be, is thinking, well, how can we embed learning opportunities in this time? How can we make sure we're focusing on that sort of process? And I think that's an opportunity you can sort of do solo, you know, or, you know, with your 2IC or with someone you trust, is really take a good critical look at your program. You know, what is the flow of the day? If we had to identify the flow, so again, not 8:45 this, 9:15 this, but just here is the kind of order of things happen on most days. That's a really good thing to do. And then working with your team, you know, maybe starting with team leaders, but no reason you couldn't do things with all educators, is to do that at a classroom level, to identify routine times, to identify the flow of the day in each room, and then have that discussion about challenges and ways to incorporate learning. What are the challenges? What are the blockages from stopping us using routines for identifying learning opportunities? And then, you know, just, you know, having those ideas, those brainstorming sessions, though, and doing some reading about ways we can incorporate learning in routine times. There's a lot of great resources out there. And for the quality improvement plan, again, we want these goals to be kind of achievable. We want them to be starting points. You know, I would be looking at one goal would be routine times are identified and learning opportunities planned for. That's really got, we want to break down this complex idea that there's a lot happening in the day. Let's kind of focus on identifying them, and then how can we plan learning opportunities for them. And then, you know, the other one I would have is opportunities for children to contribute to planning are identified. This kind of overlaps with child-centered last week, but it's really important for this one because we want to demonstrate that, you know, we're identifying learning opportunities for children. Children being involved in the program is, you know, is one of the best ways of ensuring that we're extending children's learning. All right, so that's it for this week of Exploring the NQS. Again, thank you for your support. We're one standard down. We're starting with 1.2 next week, and we'll be starting with element 1.2.1. Please share this with colleagues if you think it might be helpful or useful, but I'm really looking forward to coming back and talking with you next week. Until then, it's goodbye from me.